So you got to live the gospel. You got to become the man or the woman of God. Amen. Even though I'm saved, but I got to become what God has called me. So I got to learn how to live this gospel so that I can become. Amen. Just because you come don't mean you become. You come so you can overcome whatever's keeping you from becoming what God called you to be. Come on, somebody. You here so that you can overcome. There's some things that's been trying to overthrow us, to keep us down, hinder us, rob us, destroy us. But I come so that I can overcome. I need to learn how to overcome so I can become what God called me to be. Oh, come on, somebody. See, if you make this thing real simple, it can be done.
All right.
It's already a problem if I don't understand it. Plus, I got a problem. But once I learn how it go, it can be done to the glory of God. Amen? Are you ready for the word? I'm going straight into this because this thing is hot. It's hot to me. Amen? It's hot because I know God want to do some things this morning. You know, we're on the heels of the resurrection. Amen? In terms of next Sunday, we got Easter. But I want to plant a seed this Sunday that would make next Sunday come alive. Because, see, I'm a man of, I want to be, I told God, I don't know much. I came from the streets. I didn't have no, God made me. I'm a made man. Everything I became it in the kingdom. I'm just being honest. So I believe in the kingdom concept. I know this work if you work it. Because I didn't have none of this before I came to it. And God has made me a able minister of the gospel. Through the process of humility, through the process of submission, through the process of brokenness, through the process of dying, I had to die to the old ways so that I can let the new way live in me. Amen? Oh, I got some ways like you do. Come on, somebody. But I've been killing them. You know how you playing ball and, you know, you got them boys wide open and it's 14 to 32. I'm killing them. You know, you're playing chess and I got six of your pieces and you ain't got but two of mine. I'm killing them. I'm in this gospel and I got some stuff that I used to do that I don't do no more. I'm killing them. Oh, you better come on, church. I'm not going to play church with you. There's some old stuff, old flavors, old mindsets that I would love to do, but I'm not doing no more. I'm killing them. So I'm learning how to kill them. I'm learning how to take this ground. I'm learning how to see, take, and keep. Not only have I killed them, but I became something.
All right.
So when they come back, I'm not even the same guy they looking for.
All right.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to make the gospel real plain. But today, listen, church, you got to get ready. But today, I want to talk about this Easter thing. Because I love Jesus, which is my hero, my prototype, my deliverer, my savior, because he was killing them. Jesus came. I love this now. I love this because I come from here. See, I don't have, you know, it ain't art and all that. I like the warfare of it. Jesus came on the scene, and he started changing stuff and rearranging stuff, and he started breaking stuff and putting stuff back in order. He was killing them. They didn't want to kill Jesus because of Christianity. They wanted to kill Jesus because he was killing them. Now this man breaking up our money, he breaking up the program, he breaking up, he doing stuff all out of unorthodox. He doing it when we say you can't do it because we got control over the people, and now he done come and liberated the people. He killing us. Is this all right? So I want to listen. I want to talk to us this morning. Sunday is the Lord's Day. Is this all right? Open up your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. Let's stand to our feet and let's give him an honor and a praise to who he is and who he is to us. In Exodus chapter 20, glory be to God. See, I want us to be able to start killing areas in our life. You know what used to kill us? We're going to start killing it.
Yeah.
Folks going to come around you who taking a beating, and they're going to think you still with them, and you're going to be like, look, doc, that ain't me no more. I'm killing it.
Yeah.
They like, doc, but don't you like, ain't you? No, doc, we don't do it like that no more. I'm killing that. Here you go. Here you go. What's up with this? No, Doc, we don't do that. I'm killing it. Because see, watch this. If I don't kill it, it kills me. I'm tired of dying before my time. I'm losing everything I got. I'm losing my mind. I'm losing my friend. My marriage is on the brink. Come on, somebody. My finances. Somebody up in here stealing. Somebody in here stealing because I'm losing it. If I don't kill it, it's going to kill me. I used to be happy. I ain't happy no more. Come on, somebody. Some folks losing weight and ain't even exercising. Because they're stressing and it's killing them. I'm telling you the God truth. We got to let the church become what it's supposed to be. Me and my wife was praying. I know I'm lying. Me and my wife was praying. And I was praying that the city, the church, the body of Christ will come to know that the church is the place to be healed, to be delivered. But I want this church to be that. Not I know it's supposed to be that. Have you ever went to a restaurant and they were supposed to have some food and they ain't got none? You went to a place and they were supposed to be and they ain't doing that. But I want them, when they come to the Christian house of prayer, that they can come and get healed. They can come and get delivered. Sister, yesterday in prayer, intercessory prayer, Sister Gran gave me a word that she spoke over her husband, and it resonated in my spirit, that this house would be a house of healing. It would be a house of deliverance. It would be a house of break. This house. See, I want this church to be that to the people. I don't want you to come and you can't get healed here. You couldn't get delivered here. You couldn't get set free here. Now I got to go back out without my, and I came for that. Oh, come on, somebody. In Exodus chapter 20, are you there? And let's begin with verse 8. And it says, and let's begin. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it, to keep it, to keep it. Father, we bless you in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made. And this is the day of the Lord. And we bless you. Thank you for the hearers, but also for the doers. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen, amen. And amen. Now listen. You may have your seats in the presence of the Lord. I got to teach it before I preach it. Teaching is to get you to learn something. Preaching is to get you to do what you learn. So I got to teach it first before I preach it. See, some people be trying to preach what they ain't teaching. And all they're going to get is a shout. But the shout is with no clout. There's no change. There's no, come on, somebody. So I got to teach it first before we can preach it. Now, let's deal with this. Because he said, remember what? And keep it. Now, right here, we're in the place where the word of the Lord has set down the ordinance or the instructions, or what we call the Ten Commandments. And these commandments is designed for us to learn how to live a Christian life. That's why the Ten Commandments. They wasn't the Ten Suggestions. These are the Ten Commandments. If you do these, there's a good chance you're going to make it. Now watch this. They were never designed for you to make you more than who you are. They just giving you a better chance at becoming who you are. See, you still got to go through the process of living. So the Ten Commandments ain't going to get you into heaven. Come on, somebody. You still got to go through the process. But in order, once you get to heaven, once you, in terms of a relationship with Jesus, if you learn how to walk in the Ten Commandments, your chances will be good that you'll become a good Christian. But if you start violating these rules, it's a good chance you ain't going to. Come on, somebody. So here go the Ten Commandments that he's talking about. We're not going to deal with that because I'm not here for that one. But I want to deal with the fourth one. And the fourth one was where he was talking about and keeping the Sabbath. Because see, now you know I'm a man of understanding in that I want to understand the scriptures. Now remember, we was dealing with a teaching a little while back. It was called the Doctrine of Christ. And the Doctrine of Christ, it was coming out of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. And for those who don't know it, don't remember it, those who know it and didn't just say nothing right then. But let me help you. It was Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. But now, in that teaching of the Doctrine of Christ, it said repentance from dead works, faith towards God, the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Those are the six pillars that the church is built off of. But remember when we dealt with the one of them was the third one, was the doctrine of baptisms. Now, when we open up that one and we start discovering that the baptisms, he was not talking about one baptism. All right. Come on, somebody. I'm going somewhere. So we came to understand that there was more. How many baptisms do you know? Y'all been doing good. All right. Yeah, now I ain't gonna mess with you, but you know I will. You just can't holler no number at me. But there is seven. At least. But now, when before we had, I can surely say that there were some people that maybe only probably one, but there was one person that didn't know that there were seven. So in the teaching enlarged our understanding to understand that there was more than the ones we knew. Because we all know baptism into the water. We know baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. But now, we didn't know that there was a baptism unto John. There was a baptism unto Moses. There was a baptism into the fire. There's a baptism into the cloud. See, so some of those baptisms was increased to my understanding. Well, I'm here to help you again this morning dealing with the Sabbath. See, because listen, the more you come to know about the God you serve, the more power you have to operate in the God you know. Because now watch this, let me help you. He said, I want you to keep remembrance what, and to keep the holy, keep the Sabbath and keep it holy. But then I got to ask the question, which Sabbath are you talking about? Because see, some people done built the whole theology on the Sabbath. Because they talking about the day. And we talking about Saturday. So they built their church on that the Sabbath is Saturday, which is the holy day. And we love everybody, but I just got to keep it straight. So now, if that's the Sabbath you're referring to, because some say if you don't go to church on the Sabbath, if you don't, then you're not even saved. So I'm trying to get some people back into the kingdom that got put out because they missed their Saturday because they had to work. So that couldn't have been what he was talking about, because now there's the principle of Sabbath, but then there's the law of Sabbath. There's the principle, there's the precept, but then there's the purpose. Can I preach this right? Because I'm going somewhere. It don't just sound real good to you, don't? Clap your hands, say, Jesus. Listen. Watch this. See, because God wants the people of God to be so informed about the word of God that you can walk in the power of God. See, ain't no sense in coming to church if I can't get the power. I want to become the church. We did something this Saturday at prayer. Let me just get it. Can I just get it to you? I'm not off, but I'm going forward. But I want to give you this drive-by. You know, we don't do it no more, but I just want to talk to you about it. This drive-by, you know. I was on my way going somewhere else, and you wasn't prepared for me to show up. And I pulled up, and I hit a couple of y'all while I was here. So that's what this here is. It's going to be a Holy Ghost drive-by. Because Saturday, we was talking about prayer. And God says he wants to empower the people on how to pray. And God said, I want you to teach them how to pagah. I want you to teach them how to hit the mark. I ain't talking about, I hope he hear me. I wonder if he heard me. God, you know my heart. See, because my baby hurt. My situation is in trouble. I ain't got time to hope that he heard me. I ain't got time to think that was all right. I need to know that I hit the mark. So how do I hit the mark, Pastor? For God is you pray the word. See, watch this. Because everybody can't speak the word. First of all, they're not licensed. See, the Bible says that I've made you an ambassador for Christ. Me and an ambassador is one that represents the king. So I come on behalf of the king, but the only rules about the ambassador is the ambassadorship. I can only say what the king said. I don't have a right to pull up and say whatever I think or feel because I came as a representative to represent what he told me before I left. Oh, come on. Can I help you this morning? I'm trying to give you something because I want you to walk out of here with the power that you can begin to pray and know that you struck the mark. Now watch this. So as the ambassador, I got to say what the king said, which is the word, because he said it's written. So now if I take the word and begin to speak the word against my problem, like I told them, I gave them Isaiah chapter 54. The Bible says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Any tongue that rises up into me against me in judgment shall be condemned. So now that's the word as an ambassador. See, because I can have the power to say anything, but I don't have the authority to say it. Right. See, some people don't have the authority to speak the word because you're not a child of God.
Right.
You're just saying something. But ain't nobody paying you no attention because you're not in the kingdom.
Right.
You don't have the authority. But listen, as a child of God, as a son of God, as an ambassador, I can speak on the behalf of God. So I got a word from God. According to Isaiah chapter 54, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So whatever done came against me in my life, my family, my marriage, I can stand in the face of it. I don't have to be in that 3 hours crying about what they did, who hit me. You know they don't love me. You know I love you. All that is irrelevant because you got to speak by the authority of the kingdom. Watch this. Because if you go in there and start to pray, God, you know me and you know I love you and I don't really understand all the word. And all the God said, that's cute and I love you and I do receive that. But the only problem is the devil don't. The devil is not bound, nor is he subject to the fancy of the cute prayer.
All right.
Only thing the devil responds to, it's written.
Yeah.
Now, your God going to receive it. God going to say, that's my baby. Come here. You know I hear you. But the only problem is the devil ain't going to stop because he's not bound by your emotions.
All right.
He's not bound by our relationship. He's not bound by your sentiments. Even on the other hand, the angels are not released or dispatched until they hear the
word.
So the angels are up there in heaven right now, mounted up, got their wings prepared, in flight position, and they're waiting for somebody to release a word. And once you begin to speak the word, and the angel, and the angel is up over you. The angel done came and encamped himself round about you to contend with those things that's contending with you, to save you, to heal you, to deliver you, to set you free. So the authority that's in the word is by release by the authority that's in the ambassador.
All right.
Am I doing any good? Listen. So now. Now that you got yourself in position and you're knowing now how you're going to pray. And see, I can take the word. And Paul said, the Lord is with me. Listen, but I can make the word in the first person. Paul said that was Paul's way when he said it. But because I'm the ambassador on the job, I got this word. I can say what Paul said. The Lord is with Pastor. Come on, somebody. Now watch this. I can take the word and take it and put it in the second person. Not only is the Lord with Pastor, but I say no weapon formed against my children.
Yeah.
It's still my word. I'm still the ambassador. I can use the word whichever way I want to. Boy, you better come on here with me. Listen. I can take the word and declare and put it in the third person. Not only will it cover me, not only will it cover my children, I declare no word, no weapon formed to get the members of the Christian house of prayer. I'm still the ambassador. I still have the authority. I can release it as long as I stay in compliance with the word. Boy, am I preaching this right? Listen, you can get the devil up out your house, up out your marriage, up out your body, up out your family, up out your finance. You just got to cooperate with the order of the word. Now, I drove by there just to drop that off so I can get back to the Sabbath. Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise. I told you, I feel a healing this morning. I feel a Holy Ghost. I ain't just talking about, come here, I feel something. No, I'm talking about, I feel a Holy Ghost healing because the power of God is being released. That whatever the devil says you can't do, I'm here to tell you it can be done in Jesus' name. You got to do it in Jesus' name. You got to do it in Jesus' name. Somebody say, we got the devil cornered right here. Now watch this. We must establish what day is the Sabbath day. Now go to Jude chapter. Go to Jude, the back of your Bible. I got a lot of work to get done, so I'm going to tell you right now. My. There's somebody going to get healed today. I saw this in the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about a bona fide healing. See, the problem with what the enemy try to wrestle with saints is we try to get you to doubt what God said he gonna do. That's how we lost our authority in the garden. I'm gonna preach this right now. I'm gonna preach it right. See, we lost our authority in the garden because of what happened with Adam and Eve. Because the devil, first thing he came and said, did God say? See, the devil gonna try to question you about what you said God said, which you don't even have to answer. God said it. You didn't say it. So what you up there arguing with somebody about what God said? Either you believe it or you don't. I believe it. Watch this. In Jude chapter 1. Are you there? Verse 3. It says, beloved, when I gave the diligence to write unto you of all the common salvations, it was needful for me to write unto you, exhort you, that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto you, unto the saints. See, watch this. You shall contend. You don't have to defend. Your job is to contend. How do you contend for the faith? By knowing what the faith said. See, you got a lot of folks trying to defend the gospel. They don't even live right. They don't even have the word of God. But they trying to talk to somebody who's standing in front of them with scriptures and all that. See, that ain't my job to defend the gospel. It's like that lion. I don't have to defend the lion. Just open up that cage. That lion will defend himself. Yeah, I ain't got to defend God. God going to be God whether you believe it or not. I believe it. That make it so. No, that don't make it so. Whether you believe it or not, it's still what God said. It just benefits you or behoove you to believe it. But if you don't, the only thing lost is you don't benefit from what he said. Right. But you don't make what he said of no effect. Yeah. Come on, church. Yeah. So now watch this. God has set in place by the authority of the word of God to set in place what was called the Sabbath. Now, I'm going to break this down because I'm going to deal with it a little bit more. But I just want us to get a clear understanding of, go to Leviticus chapter 23. Because, see, you got to understand the Sabbath is a holy day. Amen. But the Sabbath is not a holy day in terms of it's holier than God. It's just the day that the Lord has made. And in making of the day, there were some things he established and he put in place so that it can be accomplished. So now the scripture says in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Because see, some people making the Sabbath the holy thing. No, it's just a day. That's not the purpose of the Sabbath, nor is it the principle of the Sabbath. It's just the precept. The Sabbath is a holy day. Amen. Because you know the scripture says in Genesis chapter 2, I'm working real hard, so I'm going somewhere, that the Bible says that God created on the first day, second day, third day, and on the sixth day he rest. I mean the seventh day he rest. That was the seventh day. When was the seventh day? Saturday. Boy, you're getting real good right here. I'm going to teach you something. The seventh day was Saturday. I got Bible, but I just want you to get it in your mind right here. The seventh day was Saturday. So the first day of the week is? It's the Lord's day. But I'm going to work with you now because, listen, this is the day that the Lord has made. Okay, so the Sabbath day was a day of rest. Should nobody do anything, amen? But it was not made a holy day because it was like God. It was made a holy day because man knew that if I didn't institute a day for man to rest, man would work himself to death. So he said, I'm going to make it a Sabbath day. The word Sabbath is rest. Come on, church. See, we got to put this, look at Mark chapter 2. I want you to have it in your Bible, on your notes, so you know it's there, amen? Because when you go home and study, I'm always want to give you something to eat. I'm not trying to mess with nobody's theology. It's my assignment as the preacher, the pastor, to teach the Bible to the people, amen? Because I can't trust to say everybody know. Then I can't trust to say what everybody know is what he meant when he said it. Because you got to learn how to rightly divide. Are you in Mark chapter 2? Look at verse 27. And he said unto them, what? The Sabbath was made for, and not man for the, I'm trying to give you Bible. Amen. So now, the Sabbath was made for man by the purpose of, so man can have a day of rest. But it's not for man to talk about that we're going to worship God, because the day is a holy day, like it's a God thing. No, it's holy because God set it aside. But it's not in the deity or in the category as a God thing. Am I working this right? So now, but now he said that the Sabbath was a holy day. It was the seventh day, which was Saturday. But now then Sunday is a holy day too. So which one is the Sabbath? Well, they both are. One is a Sabbath day, but it's, and the other one is the day of the Sabbath, which is the Lord's day. The Saturday is the Sabbath or the first day. I mean, it's the seventh day. It's the end of the week. But it's Sunday is the Sabbath because the Lord declared it, but it's the first day of the week. Now, this is the day that we come to church to give honor for the week we just had. See, we come to church so we can worship God for the week we had. Because give thanks. Why would you give thanks and he ain't done nothing? No, you come to give thanks and thank him for the week we just had. And I'm preparing my week that I'm about to. Come on, somebody. Don't patty cake. Because I'm trying to go somewhere. Now, watch this. Are you in Mark? Now, we see that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So man don't need to be worshiping it, but man needs to honor it because it works for him. So really, the Sabbath is a day for you to help yourself. Because if you go and rest, you're going to help yourself because you're going to replenish yourself so you can have a good week. But if you keep on working, that body ain't going to be able to stay up and maintain. So the Lord figured it out because of greed and all that. If I don't prepare a Sabbath, man going to get all out of whack. Is that right? So now watch this. There is what is, again, the precept of the Sabbath. Write it down. There's the precept of the Sabbath. But there's also the principle of the Sabbath. And then there's the purpose for the Sabbath. And we know that in the garden, see, watch this. Can I just throw you something? In Genesis chapter 2, we know the story that they was in the garden, Adam and Eve, amen. And chapter 2, chapter 3. And while they was in the garden, Adam and Eve got deceived by the devil, the supple, the brother in the silk, you know, leather suit with them gaiters on. He slid up in there, talked to her. Tell me, look here, listen. Did the Lord really? Now, you get around some brother, he keep doing that, that's the devil. Every time. Come here, little girl. He said, why are you wiggling like that, Doc? Straighten up. Because he's trying to pull something off. But he said, listen here, I know God been doing you good up in here. Look at y'all, how y'all laying around, chilling at things. I just want to know, did God really say? Come on, somebody. Well, I can mess with you right there, but I ain't going to mess with that. That's another whole topic. But listen, right there, though, so anyway, they was in the garden. Now, we just read that God did the work in 6 days, and the seventh day he rested because he said the work was finished. So what work was he talking about is that I prepared man to stay in this place of rest, in this garden, paradise, in this place of all is well in me. But because man in his independent living went outside of the rest that I gave him and he allowed this thing to come up and slip up under him and convince him to leave the rest. Yeah. So now when he left the rest and they sinned, the work that was finished had to begin again. Because they lost it. Is this Bible? Just like, you know, we Christians. How many of y'all Christians? You know how you're living right, you're doing good, and all of a sudden something come up. It ain't somebody. It could just be an old spirit. You know what I'm saying? One of them old things that used to run up on the side of you and move you. Now you've been over here waiting so long. I've been by myself. I ain't nobody been talking to me. I'm just feeling like I've been doing good. I done graduated and all this. I deserve to go off a little bit. So I go on and get off. And now I lose the grace that was covering me. I lose my anointing, my presence. I no longer even talk about God. I no longer walk with God. I don't even want to go to church. So what happened? It was a garden experience. What I was walking in, what was keeping me, now has left me. So now what happens, what has to happen, I got to have a rededication. Come on, somebody. Rededicate means to put me back to what me and you had originally. So after they lost that in the garden, God had to come up with another plan to reunite the church, the people back to himself. So he came with Jesus. I'm working here now. So now this Jesus who's coming on the scene, his assignment now is to bring back redemption to the people. So they can have this rest like they had it in the garden before they lost it. So it's called a new birth. It's called the resurrection. It's called the eighth day. Or it's called the first day. Because Sunday is the first day. Amen. But the first day is indicative of the first day that they had this new relationship. That's what Pentecost is all about. On the day of Pentecost, we ain't got to go through that. I'll preach it to you later. But he says, and you're going to have seven Sabbaths. All right. Seven Sabbaths. A Sabbath is 1 week. You're going to have seven Saturdays. Come on, somebody. Let's make it real plain. Seven Saturdays. Seven times seven is how much? 49. So you're going to have seven Saturdays, which is 49 days. And then he says, on tomorrow. 49 plus one is what? 50. 50 is indicative of Pentecost. 50 is indicative of new beginnings. 50 is indicative of the number 8. Come on, somebody. It's the next day or the first day. So now the 49 plus 1 is Pentecost. This is Pentecost when they was up in the upper room on Sunday. Now they was up there on Sunday. Amen. And Sundays is indicative of the time that we come to worship him. That's what we in here doing, ain't we? Sunday morning. But who else got up on Sunday morning? Come on, somebody. It was Jesus. And Jesus rose early Sunday morning after the Sabbath. Because that was Saturday. Saturday was the Sabbath. He rose up early Sunday morning. But his rose up Sunday morning is called the resurrection. It's also called Pentecost. It's also called the new beginning. What new beginning? This is the new resurrection of the one that's going to bring the church back to God. So Jesus is the man that brings the church back to God like they had it in the garden in the beginning. So Sunday morning, resurrection, Easter is very important to the church because it validates that we got a new beginning. Because if he didn't get up out that grave, we still up under what they lost. Oh, is this right? If he didn't get out that grave, we still up under what Adam and Eve forfeited in the garden. So we need somebody to come and give us a new beginning, to give us the first day, or he's the first fruit of the new beginning. He's the first, what first fruit, what are you talking about, Pastor? He's the first one to operate, to live in this new beginning life. And because he lived, we live. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. He's a resurrection. He's the way, the truth, and the... That's how he became that, because he resurrected. He's the way. If you go this way, you'll resurrect. He's the truth. He's the one that he said that on the third day he's going to get up again. He did get up. Is that the truth? He's the truth. And he's the life. It's in him you live and move and have. I don't want to mess with these scriptures, because if I begin to mess with them, it's going to take me off where I really want to take you for your healing. Because, see, it was very important that he got up. Because it was all power that's in the resurrection. And the same power that got him up, gets you up. That's why the devil can't hold you down. Not because you ain't down already. Not because you ain't do whatever you did. But he can't hold you down because he got up. It ain't got nothing to do with what you did. I'm walking in the grace of what he did. And because he lived, I can live. This is the new covenant. Because you know really when they start talking about the old and new, right? Because you know the Old Testament is from Genesis to what? Huh? Don't get scared now. It's from Genesis to Malachi, right? Right? No, it's not right. The Old Testament is from Genesis to John. See, that? Listen, let me help you. I'm going to give you some. So, see, listen, the Old Testament is from Genesis to John. They just put the demarcation line in Malachi because they was crossing over. But what validates the Old Testament from the New Testament, meaning the Old Covenant or the New Covenant, the Old Covenant was with Adam. And Adam lost that in the garden, so we waiting on somebody to come with the new. The new covenant came with Jesus, but it could not start until Jesus died. See, if Jesus never died, you ain't never had a new covenant. But it wasn't just that he died. Jesus came. The plan of God for man was that he would come. I sent my son, that he would be born of a woman, born of a virgin, that he would live a sinless life, that he would die and be raised again. Why was all that? Because if he was born of a woman, man could not contaminate his lifestyle. Therefore, the promise is still good of the resurrection. He could not be in sin, because if he was in sin, then he ain't no different than me and you. How you going to be my savior and deliver if me and you shooting on the same block? So I need somebody that ain't going to never, listen, he ain't never did that. He ain't never sinned, but not only that, he going to have to do what you got to do. We all going to die. All right. But now the difference in me and you dying is he got up. Yeah. So what validates us having the new covenant is not only was he buried, but the Bible says he was in the grave, what? And he rose when? Early Sunday morning. See, that's that new covenant. That's that new Sabbath. That's Pentecost. That's the day that the church, the new church was born, was when he got up. The new church birth is us under the new covenant. Now we got a chance at the redemption again, because he got up. He saved us from death and life and hell and the grave, because he rose up. So not only was it him getting up, but that's when we got up. Everybody that was in sin now got a chance to live again. Right. Why? Because he got up. And I can throw a little something out there just for you, just for exercise purposes, because that's why we got Good Friday, right? Because they say Good Friday is the night that he died. And he rose up Sunday morning. Is that right? Come on now, don't get quiet on me now. I'm preaching this real good. That's called Good Friday, right? Let me come on down here, because I got to look at some of y'all in the eye. Because he said that's Good Friday, right? He died Friday night, come on somebody, Friday evening, and he rose early Sunday morning. But when I sat down to do the math, I couldn't get from Friday to Sunday in 3 days and three nights. Can I preach this right, sir? How you going to get 3 days and three nights from Friday? See, I'm a student of the scriptures. I want to know, how you going to get from Wednesday? I mean, get from Friday night, get to Sunday morning early. I don't care how early it was, it still wasn't Friday night. Because what validates it, you said that he was in there 3 days and three nights. Now I can start off Friday, I don't care what time of day you get it. Friday is one day. Let's say, for the sake of argument, Friday at 6 p.m. So that's Friday at 6 p.m., right? So I got to go to, that's one night, Friday night, right? But I don't get one day until Saturday at 6 p.m. Saturday night is two nights. I got to get Sunday morning, come on, to accommodate another day. Then Sunday night is 3 days, so that's early Monday morning. He was at work. He went to work. He didn't get up. If that was happening, he had to be at work early Sunday morning. Monday morning. So it couldn't have been Friday night. I'm just arguing for the sake of understanding because I'm in the courtroom of law in terms of the scriptures. I don't buy everything somebody tell me. I'm living out of the authority and the revelation of the word of God. So if that be the case, then let's back this up. I did my math and I'm going to get you to Sunday morning. And just consider with me, if he died Thursday morning, Thursday night is one night. Is that right? Friday morning is one day. Friday night is two nights. Saturday morning is 2 days. Saturday night is three nights. Early Sunday morning is 3 days. So I beg your pardon, Your Honor, that court that I believe to say that Jesus had to die Thursday morning. To validate your point, sir, that you said he was in there 3 days and three nights and he rose up. Y'all did see him, didn't you? He got up on early Sunday morning, so it had to been. Is this in the gospel to y'all? This the gospel. But that's not even why I'm here. I wanted to prove the point to you so that you can make sure that the validity is in the integrity of the scriptures, not in the conversation of man. Because you could be saying what somebody told you. You could be saying what, come on, son, what you thought. I want to say what he said. Now let's go here. Are y'all, you still with me? Now watch this. The Saturday is a Sabbath. Sunday morning is a Sabbath. So they're both are Sabbaths. And we won't even go through the other Sabbaths, the first fruit and all that, because they all Sabbaths too. But I'm not talking about that. What I want to talk about to you is that because he got up, you can do what they said you couldn't do. See, this is what you're missing out on when you don't obey God, when you don't submit to God, when you don't learn of God. You're missing out on what you could do. Not what you can't do, not even what you currently doing. Because some of us is doing, but you ain't doing all you could do. You're living below your level. That's why some people always have other people. Boy, I can mess with you right here. When I'm not living where I'm supposed to, I need other people around me who ain't living better than me. Boy, I'm a... Because I got to give an account for why I'm not living where I should be. Yesterday's victory ain't no good today's testimony. How many times are you going to tell that story? You should have a new story. You serve a new God. His grace is new every morning. What is your new? You're under a new covenant. You're working under better promises. Why are you still telling me the same story? You mean the God that you serve is not a God of increase? Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? Now watch this. Go to... See, God has already set some things in place. Go to 1 John chapter 3. Let's go ahead and plow this horse. Get this horse down the road. I'm going to hit it one time. I'm going to hit the horse one time. And see if she jump. Why only got to be a he horse? I just thought of that. I'm with you, ladies. Y'all ain't gonna beat me down up in here. Talking about why I gotta be a she. Yeah, I got all kind of arguments. I got, look here. Where's the he horse? He. But watch this. Watch this. Listen. The devil has come and he purporting himself over our lives and got some of us in bondage to where we're limited. That's what she was talking about in your tithes and offers. Because you done canned God, you're limited now to the potential that you could walk in. I ain't even saying you ain't saved. But I watch this. You can be out of the wilderness, but not in the wheel. I'm not out in the world no more. I'm not living, but you still ain't in the wheel. You still ain't doing what God told you. You just vacillating. You can go either way. If I don't put somebody, make sure I watch you. You can go either way. Because you've not made a commitment to do one nor the other. You're just in the middle. Come on, somebody. But watch this. In 1 John chapter 3, are you there? See, the devil done came and he got some folks bound. They still living up under the old covenant. They still up under the old law in regards to what they can't do. We still bound by our own flesh, our own affections, our own emotions. We still bound by our past hurts. How are you going to get out of hurt? You're going to need the grace of God. He put the salve up on you. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. See, but if you ain't under that anointing, don't have that grace, and not operating in that system, you still living by your old principles. But in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, whosoever committed sin transgress also the law, for the sin is a transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. He who? Jesus. He was manifested to do what? Take away your sins. So therefore, he was born, he was birthed, he was created by the hand of God, the will of God, to come and to take away our sins. So if you're still living in your sins, even under the law of it or the penalty, even under the fruit of your sins, it's because you have not allowed him to take away your sin. How could that be so powerful? How can that be? How can that be? Well, this is how somebody who can live the whole life of sin can walk up in the face of man and say, I've done no wrong. How can you say you ain't done? We got records. I don't care what your records say. I'm up under the grace now. That's what Paul said. Paul said, I ain't wrong. No, man, we got pictures of you, Paul. Kids holler when they see you. Yeah, but that's who I used to be. Since I ran into Jesus, I'm no longer that man. That was Saul. My name is Paul. I'm under the authority of the new grace of God. I'm up under a better covenant now. Some of us done wrong, done missed it, done failed. Some people done failed us. You got to get up under the grace of God. You got to get up under the new covenant of God. I got to let the him who was manifested for my sins cover me. Oh, come on, church. Watch this verse. He said that he was manifested for my sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abide in him sinneth not. I'm not talking about what you did. I'm talking about where you at. Whosoever abide in him sinneth not. And whosoever sinneth have not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even so he is righteous. Verse 8, and he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. And watch this. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might what? Destroy the works of the devil. Jesus was manifested that he can destroy the works of the devil. Not the devil with the horns and all that. I'm talking about the sins and the errors in your life. That's holding you down, keeping you bondage. Things you got in your mind that you can't let go. Folks done you wrong. People, come on. He was manifested that he can destroy those works. How am I going to overcome this? How am I going to forget this? How, you don't know what they did to me. I don't know what they did. I apologize they did it. But I'm here to tell you that he was manifest, that he can destroy the work, the image, the bondage that was put you under. And he can release you and set you free as if it never happened. Oh, come on, somebody. He was made manifested that he can destroy the works of the devil. Go to Jeremiah chapter 14. Listen. The devil done told some of us that you ain't going to be able to make it. I'm here to tell you right now. He told some of us, I don't care what you talking about, you ain't going to make it. Are you in Jeremiah? And he said, I don't care what you say, who try to help you, this is how you're going to be the rest of your life. Verse 19, he says, hast thou utterly rejected Judah And hast thou loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us? And there's no healing for us. We look for peace and there is no good. And for the time of healing, and behold, trouble. See, the devil tell you there is no healing. There is no peace. There is no second chance. You ain't going to overcome. You ain't going to make it out of here. And the devil would be right if it wasn't for the resurrection. But because he got up, you can get up. Because he lived, you can live. See, you can change. You don't have to be what you were. You don't have to live where you've been. You don't have to settle for what you got. Because he got up, he made provisions for you to get up. The resurrection means more than coming and dressed up with your stuff on. It identifies the opportunity that you can have to not live in the sin no more. I don't care how bad. I used to be on drugs and everything. But I'm not on it today. Why? Because he got up. Oh, come on, church. You used to be what you used to be. And you're not it no more because he got up. See, the power was in his resurrection. And when he got up, he empowered me to get up. I used to think there was no way out. Have you ever been in a situation and you thought there was no way out? Have you ever thought that this is just the way you're going to have to live? I'm going to be broke the rest of my life. My mama was broke. My daddy broke. My neighbor even broke. They did me so bad, I ain't going to never recover. But the resurrection made it possible for you to get up. Oh, God. The resurrection made it possible. I don't care how bad you live, how many crimes you done committed. You can live again. I don't care how many times you've been married. You can get married again and get the right one. It's in him. You can't keep acting like you wounded and keep taking whoever say amen. You're going to have to wait on the process and let him bless you with somebody who's waiting to be a blessing. I've been living all my life to bless. I'm looking for somebody I can take care of because all I want to be is love. Everybody I got, they done used me and took my money. And I got more money than they can take. I just can't find real love. And here you is over here. Ain't nobody going to love me because I got 3, 5 kids. I've been down out. I ain't got no job. I ain't got no education. And somebody looking around waiting and trying to find somebody that they can show their affection and their love to. That all they want is somebody that won't dare them.